Happy almost New Year's. Tomorrow is the big day. I'm super excited. But I just wanted to take a minute and just tell everybody thank you for being here and sharing this moment with me. I'm just really hoping and praying that God can use me to speak to your heart and inspire you to pursue him this coming year. It's definitely a moment that I'm never going to forget today, and I'm just happy to be able to think back and see all of your faces. So thank you for being here. And I wanted to start with a quick prayer. So if you'll join me. Lord, I just want to thank you. I want to thank you for just bringing this year to an end, Lord, an opportunity for us to just recognize your work. I want to thank you for the excitement of the new year. I want to thank you for the hopes that it brings. And I just want to thank you for each person here, God, that you would just bless them, that you would make yourself known to them today, that those that seek you would find you. And we just give you all the praise and glory, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so I wanted to start out by sharing a little bit of my story, because we all love a good story, right? Only my testimony and my story isn't technically, like, culturally what you'd call a good story. It's really actually kind of boring and basic, but it is something that God has put on my heart to share with you guys, and it's just in the hopes that it could inspire you all for the new year. I think that's mostly because my personal walk with God actually started right here in this building, the Red Bluff Vineyard, 14 years ago this month. And I didn't exactly grow up in the church, per se. It wasn't until I was a young newlywed at 21 that Corey and I actually came to church together for the first time. And it was after we received an invitation from Bill Knight, who was Corey's coworker at the time. Bill, are you here, Sarah? He was here. Oh, there you are. Hey, Bill. We're always going to be thankful to Bill for that invitation, among many other reasons. But I remember the first time coming in here. I remember first time walking through the doors and feeling a little bit nervous and unsure. I remember the warm welcome I got from strangers when I came in. And I remember sitting down and the lights dimming and live music starting. And I looked around and I saw people worshiping, and my first thought was, what are they doing? What is happening in here? I didn't know what worship was. I had no idea. So, and on that note, back in the day, we had two projectors on each side of this sanctuary, and they were the kind from when you were in school, and the clear sheets with the words printed. And there was someone actually sitting next to it, flipping them new ones in every time the song was over. How many of you here were here during those days? Just a few of you guys. We've certainly come a long ways since those days. But as the music went on, I began to read along with the words in my mind, not out loud. And I felt something I now know to be the Holy Spirit. But at the time, I just started to cry. And it wasn't like a cute cry. It was the weep, ugly, ugly cry. And it was all completely new for me. It was new to be singing to God in words that were like a prayer. And the sermon by Pastor Steve Igarda, it spoke right to my heart, like he wrote it just for me. And he actually did that pretty often. But it was what I would truly call an experience. And that's just because I really don't have words to describe how it felt. It just... We just wanted to come back. We just wanted to experience it more. So for the next few months, Corey and I, we came back, and we sat in the furthest corner possible from up here. And we would do that because every single Sunday during worship, I just sobbed. I cried every single time for months. It was just so overwhelming to connect with God, like to be connected to him for the first time. And it was all a new experience. And I distinctly remember how insecure I felt. I was afraid people were watching me and wondering what's wrong with this person crying every week back there. And I even remember having thoughts like, thank you, God, that it's dark in here so I can pull myself together before the lights turn up again. But when I looked around, I noticed that everybody was in their own vertical worship and private time with God, and I craved that. I craved it. Nobody was looking at me. I began to find confidence in having my own moment with God during worship. And I began singing out loud because nobody could hear me. So that's good. That's a big point there. And I began listening to it in my car and at home and outside of church. And it actually greatly impacted my life moving forward. After months of attending church every week, we decided to join a core group for young married couples. And it was in those meetings week after week that our church friends became our family. And after months more of sermon after sermon and Bible study after Bible study, I just felt like I still wanted to personally know God more and more. And I must have heard Pastor Steve ask us on a Sunday morning if anyone wanted to become a first-time follower of Jesus, to commit their lives to the Lord a dozen times, maybe dozens and dozens of times. And there was even a dozen or so times that I felt my heart on the inside screaming, yes, feeling it, but just not moving, just being too afraid. Until finally I listened to that voice and I raised my hand and I walked up here, right here in front of this pulpit. And I was super nervous and I was crying again. And I lifted my hands to receive the Holy Spirit. And people surrounded me and laid hands on me. And many of those people are still here today, and you know who you are, and I just love you guys so much. So they prayed for me, and I felt a sudden relief and just overwhelming peace. And from that day, it would be years before I became baptized. It was right before Pastor Steve was retired about 3 years ago. Corey and I were young parents, and our kids were just little peanuts. And we were all four baptized by Pastor Steve. And it was a really neat way of having closure. It was his last baptism before he retired, and it was just kind of a great way for us to close that chapter and begin a new chapter in our faith as a family. Now, becoming a believer wasn't an instant ticket to personal confidence, to always making the right choices, or to never having to endure trials or tribulations. But it was a ticket to my personal genuine hope and to compassion like I had never known before, and to grace, both giving and receiving, which are completely different things, but equally important things, and to understanding love on a whole new level. It was the start of a journey of self-discovery for me, full of passion to serve and live at the feet of Jesus. So from becoming a first-time believer in Christ, to joining a core group and making lifelong friends, to serving on a ministry team in the church, to leading a core group, to becoming the kids' ministry pastor, which I still can't believe that that is where God has brought me, to becoming the Vineyard regional kids' leader and serving our 36 Vineyard churches in our region, other kids' ministry leaders, and to also representing our northwestern region for Vineyard Kids USA and advocating for kids ministry in the Vineyard at the national level. It all began right here in this room. And I know my faith is not a destination, it's a journey. And I know that I am not yet what God wants me to be. I have a long way to go, and it seems like the more I do grow in my faith and my knowledge, the more I realize I don't know and the more I want to learn. There's so much more I could tell you to fill in all the cracks on this glimpse into my story, but I want to save that for another time, because what I really wanted to share with you is that when I stop and take the time and I look back into my childhood and my teenage years and my young adulthood, I can see Jesus with me every step of the way, even before I ever even knew him. He was there guiding me ultimately up to this day. Today. Now, this is the last Sunday of the year of 2018, and for the last few years, we've spent this service reflecting on the previous year and celebrating some of the things that God has done for us here at the Vineyard. And we do this because it's a helpful tool to establish and evaluate growth, and it's a great way to honor God by expressing gratitude for all the things he's done for us in our community. So in a minute, I want to take a few moments to acknowledge and talk about how God has been present in the midst of our church community through 2018. And we have evidence of the importance of this practice in the Bible. When you read through the Old Testament, you see a fascinating pattern. When Israel stopped remembering God's activity in their lives, they drifted away from God and began worshiping idols. There's actually a cycle where God does miracle after miracle for the people of God, and they're thankful and they praise him. And then slowly over time, they forget or they stop celebrating that miracle and end up ignoring God, suffering great consequences. In the psalm specifically, we find a very helpful reminder that we should regularly reflect on God's work in our lives, share those stories, remaining committed to Jesus and his kingdom. So let me read from the Psalms. Shout joyful praises to God in all the earth. Sing about the glory of his name. Tell the world how glorious he is, and say to God, how awesome are your deeds. Your enemies cringe before your mighty power. Everything on earth will worship you. They will sing your praises, shouting your name in glorious songs. Come and see what our God has done, what awesome miracles he performs for us. He made a dry path through the Red Sea, and for his people went across on foot. There we rejoiced in him. For by his great power, he rules forever. He watches every movement of the nations. Let no rebel rise in defiance. Let the whole world bless our God and loudly sing his praises. Come and listen, all who fear God, and I will tell you what he did for me. For I cried out to him for help, praising him as I spoke. I had not confessed the sin in my heart. If I had not confessed the sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But God did listen. He paid attention to my prayer. Praise God who did not ignore my prayer. Now, we already, in the beginning, watched a short video recapping 2018, but I wanted to spend a few minutes highlighting some of the year and breaking it down for us. We had dozens of first-time decisions to follow Jesus this last year. Our mission here in the Red Bluff Vineyard is knowing Jesus and making him known. And as a church, we exist to make disciples who make disciples. Jesus taught in 15:10 that if one sinner repents, angels rejoice in heaven. We had over 150 people participate in core groups last year. We've seen marriages restored. We've seen new friendships begin and grow. We've seen people's relationships become more grounded in Jesus and the kingdom. We had over 55 baptisms here. They're public proclamation and expression of belief in God and Jesus. We had our first VBS, Vacation Bible School, which was an amazing experience for me. I had never grown up, like I said, in the church, so I didn't really know what VBS was like. So as a kids pastor putting it on for the first time, I didn't know what to expect. And we had 60 kids from both inside and outside our church community attend, and it was a really wonderful experience. Now, we also had some unprecedented disasters that we should acknowledge the valleys that God walked alongside us through, like the car fire, opening the church for evacuees, receiving and delivering donations, the backpack and school supply drive. That one was particularly neat for me as the kids pastor because I got to see the kids, and it was really neat to actually put faces to what we were doing and partner with the Reading Vineyard, and I am super blessed by that experience. The campfire, providing financial support, prayer, and meals to families that lost everything. There's so many of us here in our church community that have no people that were intimately affected by that, and it's been a real blessing to try to be able to be there and support for those people. We've had loss of family members and friends to our church members, and our crisis care team providing community prayer and food and support. While these have all been really challenging circumstances, we're so thankful that God has been present with us as we've done our best to be present for others in need. So now that we spent a few minutes recognizing God's work in our church community, let's take it one step further into our personal lives. How many of you here today can think back over the last year in your own personal peaks and valleys and see God at work in those times? If you haven't done this or you can't seem to make those connections, maybe take a minute to ask God to show you Ask him to highlight all the blessings he provided for you last year and show you the ways he was present during the hard times. I'd like to first all to take a minute and stop and think about our own spiritual health right now. And how, ask yourself, how have you grown over 2018? Are you where you want to be in your walk with God? What would it look like to invest in your spiritual life? And here are some examples that come to my mind. Serving in the church or community on our ministry teams, like our ushering team or sound booth or coffee. We didn't have coffee when I first started the Vineyard, by the way. It's been a game changer. I love it. Hospitality and the kids and the kids and the kids. Did I mention the kids? I'm just kidding. But there's really something to be said about the impact of serving in the church on your faith and on your own personal walk with God. Daily spiritual formations like scripture and prayer. Spending time in the Word and hearing from God through scripture. What is God saying to you through his Word? Prayer practices. Do you pray during times of blessing or are you only seeking him during times of trouble? Joining a core group. It's an awesome opportunity to develop new friends in faith, to begin a community to share life with in the faith, and a place to learn and expand your knowledge. Attending conferences, workshops, and other outreach events. These are amazing opportunities to catch a bigger vision, to evangelize and to minister to people outside of our church walls. I'd like to encourage you to add this component to your New Year's resolutions, which does anybody in here do New Year's resolutions besides me? Anybody think about those things? No? Okay. Well, it is a good time at the end of the year to reflect on what your year looked like and to think forward and things that you'd like to work on next year. So I would like to encourage us all to be intentional about adding some spiritual resolutions into those plans. What are your spiritual goals? What do you want to see when you look back at the end of 2019? I encourage you to take some time and think about that before the year is over and really challenge yourself. Set some spiritual goals that will help you look back and see that you clearly said yes to God and his calling that he's put on your heart. Those spiritual practices that I mentioned, they're the foundation that has led me to this place right now. From a lost soul that didn't even know that I was lost, to ultimately being up here and sharing with you all today. Being obedient to what God is asking of me and standing here in front of you all, regardless of how scary it is for me to be used by God in such a big way. Being vulnerable like this is not a strong suit of mine. I tend to try very hard to minimize every opportunity I can make a fool of myself. And I can't tell you how many times, countless times, why I've asked God, why me? Who am I to be used by you in this capacity? I'm nothing special. I'm just me. And all I really have to offer is love. And I've prayed over that and prayed over it. And finally, I felt an answer from him. And it was that I'm just like all of you. And by stepping out of my comfort zone and doing something like this and saying yes to God in a new way, I might be a living example that one of you needs to do the same thing in 2019 when God is asking you to do something scary for the very first time. Take your faith to the next level next year. Like finding the courage to invite someone to church that God has put on your mind. Or asking someone if you can pray for them when you're feeling God prompting you to do that. Or how about serving on a ministry team here in the church? Leading a core group? Maybe even doing something as simple as saying, yes, I believe in Jesus for the first time out loud. Or like saying yes to being baptized in front of your family and friends. I said yes to God for the first time almost 14 years ago. And that was where this amazing journey started for me. All of your stories look different than mine, and there's so much beauty in that. You have your own unique walk of faith with God that God will use to bless you and use to bless others if you let him. So I'd like to finish up in a prayer and just ask you all to pray with me as I think about what God wants for us in the coming year. So Dan, would you mind? If you all stand with me. Come, Holy Spirit. God, we are so privileged that you would dwell within us when we just ask you to. We are so privileged that you are always there with open arms, ready and waiting for us to make that next step, to say yes to you and what you're calling. Thank you, God, for just being with each of us in our own individual journeys, our own individual walks, God. And I just want to pray, Lord, that each person that's here today is here with a desire to know you more intimately, Lord. And I just pray that you would speak to each person specifically and show them what they can do this coming year to take that next step, to become more like you, Lord, to be more of a disciple, just to be more of a servant, to help others to know you. I just pray you would make that so clear to each person here that when they leave and they think about this coming year, they know what the next step is for them in their faith. And I just pray, God, that as a church community, that we can be bonded by that drive. I pray that you would help us to see opportunity, that we can fellowship with one another and connect with one another and be on this journey together, Lord. I want to thank you, God, for this last year and all these amazing moments that you've given us and walked alongside us, Lord. I want to thank you for the excitement of a new year, of starting fresh. And I just want to pray, God, that you would give fresh new vision to each person that takes the time to sit and be in your presence. And I thank you that when we ask, you are there. When we ask, you're always there waiting for us, Lord. I just pray for courage for anybody in here, Lord, that needs that courage. And I want to thank you, God. I want to thank you for their hearts to know you and serve you. I want to thank you, God, for this opportunity to serve you and that I could be a tool to be used by you, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, that you be with us in the next couple of days as we celebrate the new year, that you'd keep us safe with our families, that you'd help us make new memories, Lord. I want to pray for our kids in the back, God, that you would just bless their hearts and just bond these families by faith, Lord. Just help these parents and children have a unique connection in their love for you and knowledge of you and your presence, God. We just give you all the glory, Lord, all the glory and all the praise for every good deed that we've accomplished this year. We've done nothing without you, God. We've done it all through you and with you, and we just praise you for that. Please bless these people as they leave here today, Lord, and thank you for bringing them here in this fellowship together. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.